Hey guys, welcome back to Real Estate Investing in New York with me, Christina Kramidis. And in this episode, we are going to be discussing some fun updates about the Christina Kramidis team. And I have a guest on with me, our very own Maria Yakushevich, who works on my team. So stay tuned, we're covering everything here. This is Real Estate Investing in New York with Christina Kramidis, helping you achieve a future of financial success by making intelligent real estate investment decisions today. I'm so excited to have you on the show, Maria. It has been a long time coming. We always talk about getting together as a team and doing content together, but we're all always just so busy. It's like hardly ever happens. So this is amazing. I'm blessed to have you with us today. Say hello to our listeners and to our audience.
Hi, my name is Maria Yakushevich. I've been with Christina for about 2 years now. So far, it's been amazing. Very happy to be here and very nice to meet everyone.
Okay, so we have a couple of fun updates, and it's kind of late in the year to be announcing this, but they do release it quite late in the year. But the Christina Kramidis team did achieve the Pinnacle Award for last year's sales, which means that we won Douglas Elliman's highest accolade, and we also ranked number one for most highly producing small team out in the borough of Brooklyn for our sales out there. So we are very, very happy. And the purpose of this episode really isn't to be braggy at all, but we did want to take a minute to have some gratitude because we're always hustling and we are always worried about the next thing that we're trying to accomplish, that it's very rare that we sit down and actually feel good about where we currently are. So we wanted to take a minute and just say thank you to our clients, to everyone that tunes in for helping us to elevate our business and for being able to serve you guys. And with that said, I thought that we would do a fun little kind of episode with Maria where you can just get to know us a little bit better. We'll do a little bit of recapping on our experiences last year, but really this is just a fun, more lighthearted episode so that you can get to know my team a little bit more. Joseph unfortunately was sick today, but he was supposed to be here too, but this is perfect to just be intimate with the two of us. Okay, so Maria, you came over to my team from a different company. And one of my questions really is, how does working on this team compare to where you've previously worked?
Yeah, it's a good question. First of all, I came on this team for the people. I already knew a girl who was on a team before. We were good friends. And she was always telling me how amazing it is, how great she enjoys working on your team immensely. So the logical next step was, okay, I want to do sales more. And in my previous brokerage, I was doing rentals mostly. And I was like, what do I do next? And I interviewed with you a couple of times, I think. And the energy was just right. I felt inspired. I felt motivated. I felt that I belong to with this team. It was amazing. And then everything happened. I just decided to make that step.
So nice. I remember we had an incredible first couple of conversations. I always think that it's someone that's good for us to have on board when we have an amazing first conversation, when the conversation lasts forever and it doesn't feel forced at all. It just freely flows. I remember loving you immediately, but I'm so glad that you're happy being here. But my question really is, I'm inspired by you more than anything else. I don't think I've ever seen a more hardworking person. It seems like you never stop. You're always going, you're always grinding. And my question for you is, what motivates you?
I feel like if you're in the right industry for yourself, if you love doing what you're doing, you know, the famous saying is, you never feel like you're working. So that's my case here. And honestly, I'm inspired by my success. If I'm doing something right, if I get great feedbacks from my client, if I get referrals, that's what really drives me. And also just the feeling that you're helping someone, because a purchase process in real estate in New York can be very, very difficult and convoluted. And just guiding someone through this process, being someone's therapist sometimes when they need it, acting like their best friend and supporter, this is what is really priceless for me. I'm always there for my clients, and my clients honestly inspire me too. What about you? What wakes you up in the morning?
What motivates you? What wakes me up in the morning? Honestly, I think that I'm on the same page as you, obviously, in terms of like why I love what we do. I think that when it comes to leveling up and why are we as aggressive as we are, and why am I kind of like driven to be the best or as close to the best as I can be, is because I don't think I realized that how competitive I was when I got into this business. I never thought I was a very competitive person, but I feel like I can't be in an industry where I am not succeeding and like just doing the absolute best. I feel like compelled to always like level up. I want to be able to be like confident in every room that we walk into. And I think that in this business too, like we are in touch with a lot of people who are doing very, very well. And there is constantly a reminder that, oh, you thought you were doing good? Actually, no, you're not. Like you're a little baby in the scope of life here. And there's always room to do better. So I feel like I'm always finding things related to that motivate me, and yeah, feeling like as soon as I'm comfortable, think I'm doing well, I notice something else and I'm like, wait, no, like we need to keep killing it, we need to level up even more.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like we're motivated the most when it's a busy season and there are a lot of clients that need to be helped, and I feel like I struggle a little bit with motivation when it's just slow, especially like last year we experienced a little bit of a slow season. And you have to find this inner motivation. Okay, you need to find a task that you need to accomplish every day. That's where I experience a little bit of struggle. But when there are a lot of clients, like I said, I enjoy it. I think it's the best thing ever.
Yeah. I feel like we were just recently talking about that. It's like you wake up and you see your day like totally slammed, like you're back to back, like there's no time to eat, there's no time to take a break, there's nothing. And for a moment, it's like, oh my God, this is a really overwhelming day. But by the end of it, we feel so much better than we would have felt at the end of a slow day, where like we could have done anything that
felt good. Yeah, you just feel so accomplished. It's great.
Right? Yeah. Like that adrenaline at the end of a crazy day. Also, I try to remember what that feels like, because it is daunting to schedule insane days. Mm-hmm. And I always try to remember. I feel like we were just laughing about that. Like, remember what it felt like to finish an insane day like last week, and it's going to be fine. Like, we're going to get through it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people reach out to me and ask, like, how do we do X, Y, and Z? Like, how did we, a lot of people are like, how do you work buyers? Like, that's such a harder side of the process. Like, aren't you chasing people around all the time? Or they're like, oh, how did you sell that thing? Or how did you rank the way you ranked? So I guess I would want to know, what do you feel is your secret sauce? Like, why do you think that you're a top producing agent?
Well, for me, I think it has to do with the motivation here in this job as well. I'm here for my clients and I want to be true to myself. It's never about the deal. It's all about the client and helping people. And of course, I have this ambition. Of course, I want to sell this multi-million dollar apartments at some point. But I think that what's important for me is to tell the truth to my client, to be the real advisor and, you know, help them out. And I think that's the most important thing. And when I got a feedback that, oh, Maria, thank you for mentioning this to me, thank you for bringing that up, we would absolutely had no idea that, for example, this building had this issue and then this apartment had something else going on there, and you just mentioned it to us. Feeling my clients being grateful, that's the best thing. And always, I think the feedback that I'm getting from my clients is that, oh, Maria, we like how truthful you are. We like that you're very transparent. And I think this is how I am as a person. And just fighting this stereotype about salespeople being sleazy and everything, I think that's very important to be true to yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree. I see that. I definitely see that in you. It makes perfect sense. I think that for me, I've developed over the course of the years that I've worked in this business the ability to think very analytically. Like, you really can't take anything for face value. You always have to think like 10 steps ahead of where you currently are, because there's definitely a problem coming. It's just like we have to solve for it mm-hmm. today instead of when it actually comes and delays us. I think especially with all the difficulty that we had in 2023 and how challenging yeah. of a year it was, so many of our deals could have fallen through. There are so many moments where you have to just like sit down and critically think about how you're going to get this deal approved, whether you're dealing with a board or whether you're dealing with a difficult person. There's so many opportunities where if you're just going with the flow, or if, you know, if your client says, oh, I want to look at X, Y, and Z, and you're just like, okay, let's go there, without stopping to critically be like, wait, is this going to work out? Is this a good decision? Is this smart? I think that's something that for me helps me to be more efficient and helps me to be more of an asset.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Even my husband will ask, like, even on weekends or like when we're on vacation, because obviously weekends we're not yeah. off. It's like our biggest work day, but on vacation, I'll pick up a call for a client, or I'll pick up a call for one of the attorneys or the lenders that we're working with, and I'll spend however long it takes trying to figure out like what we need to do and if they need me while I'm away. But it doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't bother me at all. And I feel like you're similar too.
Yeah.
I try not to bother you while you're away.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But you do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like I'm being bothered, honestly, because you're there for your clients. The work never stops. You're in real estate. You have to work 24/7. There are no days off. Well, you can schedule a day off, of course, and a vacation. But it's the beauty of it. And sometimes it interferes with your personal life. Yes. But if we didn't enjoy it, I feel like we wouldn't be doing what we're doing now. So I think we're in the right place, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I think it really is a matter of knowing yourself, right?
Because
not everyone is going to be cool. Not everyone's cool with that. Not everyone's okay with that. And a lot of people really require rest and relaxation in order to do well. I think that mm-hmm. we obviously do, but like if I'm away and I end up on a phone call and I'm able to keep something moving while enjoying like a pina colada on the beach, I kind of feel I'm like, wow, that's great, because not every job can be done that way. Uh-huh. You can't just keep a job moving 90% of the time from vacation. You have to do a whole out of office, have meetings, get coverage, and, you know, especially when you're working in like corporate and things like this. So I feel very grateful for the fact that we can be on remotely and keep things going. So it really doesn't.
Yeah.
But a lot of people I see, it would be very difficult. Uh-huh. It would be very difficult. How about your best 2023 deal story, since we're doing this episode because we, you know, we succeeded in 2023.
Yeah.
What was your best story?
Sure. Yeah, I think that that is actually a good story to mention. So we got this listing. It was a multifamily house in Prospect Lafayette Gardens. And, you know, first I remember we came there together and we were like, oh, how are we going to price this? It just needs so much work. It's probably an investor product, like, you know, an end user would never want to live in here. But okay, we're going to take it on. Like, we never say no to our clients. We can do it. And then we listed the house. We showed it only once. And we got, how many, 11 or 12 offers? I don't even remember. It was an insane amount of offers.
For one day.
And also, the property was tenant occupied, so I couldn't show it, you know, one by one or comfortably to all the clients, unfortunately. So it was a 1 hour open house, extremely busy. I think I got 53 people in, and it was just me.
Yeah, you were on your own that day. I'm like, do you need any help with the open house? And you're like, nah, I'm good. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but then the property sold for, what was it, 15%?
At least 15. It was between 15 and 20% over.
And 20% over the asking price. And of course, the seller was beyond happy. And I felt like, yeah, we really killed it for her. We did an amazing job. And yeah, I think that was my best deal.
I did love that case study. That was a great deal. And we priced it right. It could have gone. We knew
no,
it was
going to
go.
We did. We checked all the comps did. In the area. The numbers were there.
Yeah, it would have. It was going to go for sure, especially because it was kind of a weak market at the time, but it was going to go for a little bit over.
Yeah.
And then I think it was a matter of how you communicated with each of those individual buyers.
That, and also it's a matter of, it's a case of the market telling you the price, right? We always tell our clients, oh, the market dictates the price. So here I feel like the market really dictated the price.
Yeah, everyone just kept one-upping. And we weren't even looking for a bidding war. It just happened.
No.
Genuinely, it just,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything happened organically.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good deal.
What about you?
My favorite deal, I want to say I had a few really good contenders when I thought about what I would say about my favorite story. But I think that it's my story about the new development that I did on 56th Street in a brand new development building, overlooking Central Park. It was a beautiful, stunning building, and I had been dying to bring a buyer that was going to buy in that building. I had shown it a couple of times, and I had this wonderful client who was completely remote. This was another really cool person to work with because he was a really admirable person, awesome family, really cool guy to work with, and very like admirable, like successful type of profile. And we were completely remote. The entire process was remote. It was a very nice case study in that as well.
I absolutely love when your clients trust you like that, because I have a client like this too. She's in London, and I'm just going there to all these beautiful luxurious apartments with my phone, showing her the apartments on FaceTime, and then watch it. They're just placing offers like that, and it works out.
It works out so well. It works out so well. So yeah, everything we looked at was remote. We started downtown and slowly ended up realizing that we were Central Park. Like, we were Central Park people. This is where we were going to end up. And finally, I'm like, this building is going to be the one. I know it. So we looked at it virtually, ended up doing a deal there. And they're very happy now. So that was a very, very fun deal to work on.
Yeah. No, that was great. I remember the client.
So here's a question for a lot of people that ask us about, like, do we think that they'd be a good fit for the team? What kind of person makes a really great agent? Are you structured? Do you find yourself to be a structured person when it comes to your schedule, or is your day more fluid? How do you go about that?
I'm structured to an extent. I like to have the schedule, but also if I just don't feel absolutely 100% myself this day, sometimes I wait to call this client because I feel like my energy needs to be there for them. I need to be the best version of myself for my client. So I think it's all about the respect as well. So, but if we're talking about my day, the schedule of my day, so usually I just wake up around 5:30, have my coffee, then walk my dog for an hour and a half. That's also my workout. And then we hop on a phone call together, our team. So we probably spend an hour on the phone call. And then right after, I just call all my clients that need some updates from me. And then just, you know, work on my computer if I don't have any showings. Of course, if I have showings, I just rush and, you know,
leave. Frantically running,
Yeah, run out for my showings. But yeah, usually I do have a lot of showings between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m., and then after that, I get back home, have dinner, and usually I just do follow-ups around 7 p.m., 7 to 8.
What's your best time of day to call clients where you feel like you get through to them, they have time to talk to you?
Around 10:30 or 11 a.m., I think.
10:30, 11 a.m. Interesting too.
Yeah, sometimes when I feel like this client works in an office and they're like 9 to 5, I call them around 7 because I give them some time to get back home after work and, you know, do their things. And then after that, we hop on a phone call. And sometimes I even schedule a phone call with them. So whenever it's better for them, then we just, you know, hop on a call.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm not the most naturally structured person. I have to give myself structure. And I used to really not like it. I loved like the freedom of life and being able to kind of do what you want when you want to do it. But really, I've noticed that in order to be a top producing team or in order to really kill it, you just have to be insanely structured. We've gotten more and more structured as we've established the team over the last few years. But yeah, I make it a point to get up early. Well, we always got up early, but earlier, before 6 a.m., workout done. I do my like manifestation, my visualization exercise, all my prayers, everything is done. And then finally we'll do our status call at 9 in the morning. But I think it's a nice start to the day.
No, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it keeps everybody updated. And then if you feel not as motivated as you normally do, you got this energy from, you know, your team.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I know that we need to start wrapping it up because we're on a tight schedule. But do you take any days off? And I actually genuinely don't know this because I've never not heard from you. Do you take any days off? And if you do, when are those days?
So here where I'm not structural, sometimes when I feel like I'm completely not motivated, which doesn't really happen often, I give myself some time. And usually I still do something in the morning, but then I'm more free for the rest of the day. Yeah. And if I get a showing, I'm still going to do a showing. It's not like I'm going to cancel everything for my day off. But I feel like it's important to take some time off just because you need to recharge. And it's absolutely not possible for any human being to be nonstop 24/7 every single day. So nothing is wrong with that. And actually, I'm working on encouraging myself to take days off more often. Yeah, because sometimes, and also we're in New York, the culture is this constant rat race. You have to be better, bigger, more successful. So I feel like sometimes you just have to give yourself some grace and respect. And yeah, if you're off on Saturday or Monday, whatever works best for you, let it be.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Mondays usually we're recuperating from like a busy open house weekend. Yeah. I'll usually mostly try to like work from home on that day, like catch up. Yeah, that's a good point.
And what about you?
I think that really like, again, hardly like off, but I think Mondays are going to be like the slower, like catch up day from home. That's like, you know, what I would consider off. And I've been doing better about, you know, making time for my relationship, my husband, making sure that we're going out, that we're enjoying ourselves. Because really, what's the point if you're not? Yeah. Can I ask you one other? What do you think is the hardest thing about working in real estate? Because I know everyone thinks it's very glamorous, but what's tough for you?
For me, I think it was hard to transition mentally just because I'm coming from a country that is post-Soviet Union, Belarus. I'm originally from Belarus. And nobody really had their own business in the 90s. So just making that mental transition was a game changer for me. And after that, everything just flowed. Everything just happened naturally. So yeah, I think I'm a very independent person. So I honestly don't struggle with anything at all in this business. I love it. And I think that's also like part of being on your team, because you're not micromanaging us really. And this is so important for me. If I had that someone on top of me checking on me every 20 minutes of the day, I think I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, you would not. Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that I thought about really carefully when it comes to management of this team. Because as a person that's in charge of a team, there's always a careful balance between being too much and not being enough, right? You need to give structure. You need to provide where you need to provide for people, because people are working with you to get something, obviously. And at the same time, though, I never personally wanted to join a team because I didn't want to deal with mm-hmm. being micromanaged. And I wanted the autonomy of mm-hmm. why you get into this business. Really, yeah. you get in for autonomy. Yeah. And I knew that if I wanted top producing agents to be mm-hmm. with me as part mm-hmm. of this, we really had to make it a point to allow you to be your own business owner. Really, mm-hmm. it's, we are working on, I never know what you're doing on any one given day. Very rarely am I like, I
yeah,
know exactly
it's all
where.
About as long as you're showing the results, right? That's exactly, all that's everybody it. Cares about.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you finding the best deals right now? Like, what buildings are your favorite or what areas?
Well, I feel like definitely new developments. And now, I mean, the market is so hot. Probably you're still not going to find as good of deals as you would find there like 2-3 months ago. But still, in new developments, there is still room to negotiate. There is some leverage. You can negotiate the common charges. And I'm sure you covered it in your previous episodes, actually.
I
watched
one.
That episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A recent one about
so I completely agree yeah. with you on that. Because in some resales in Manhattan now, even in Manhattan, I don't see that much room negotiating. And Brooklyn is just over the top competitive. So if you're looking for a deal, definitely buy in a new development.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's definitely where we're seeing them. There are a few really good buildings that are just from the sheer size of them. Mm-hmm. They have so much mm-hmm. inventory to offload right now, coming yeah. off of a slow 2023. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm telling my clients too. If you want a nice deal, you're going to do new dev for sure.
Yeah.
Certain areas have been like up and coming, which we covered, and mm-hmm. we're doing an upcoming episode about Manhattan and Brooklyn, like where to invest right now. So. Yeah. Yeah, I think this was really, I know I see you checking your watch because you're booked back to back and you're running to go
so
see clients. So I'm going to let you go. But this was, I think this was really fun. I hope that our listeners got a nice opportunity to get to know us both a little bit better. If you liked this episode, we will do more like this. If you comment and let us know that you like hearing about what we do behind the scenes or, you know, what drives us personally and what you don't always see from, you know, YouTube or Instagram or just the business, then let us know because this was fun. Did you have fun?
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me here. It was amazing to meet all your followers. Yeah, and hopefully we can do it together soon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Maria. And thank you guys for tuning in. Don't miss our next upcoming episode. We're talking a lot about new developments in the industry and how you can ultimately get what you want accomplished for the best price. So stay tuned and be sure to share the episode with a friend if you found it helpful or if you enjoyed this episode. And if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and like this episode so you can be alerted when new episodes post. Thanks, guys, and see you soon.